Our church was started by four pastors doing life together, and one of the churches that walked alongside us in our earliest day was a church called Grace Community Church. Now, Grace Community Church, even recently, like our boxes of love that we're going to get, the 40 boxes or the 20 boxes we're going to get, Grace Community Church still continues to love our church, and they are supplying us with our 40 boxes of love. Well, some time ago, that's the praise of the Lord, amen. So some time ago, I had heard that Grace had hired a new guy to be on their pastoral team, and they was like, yeah, man, this guy's coming, and he's coming with some energy, man. It's like, he's going to bring some energy, and I'm like, cool. Now, when you're in a pastoring role, you start learning that sometimes people bring a lot of energy to mask where their shortcomings. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people use gimmicks and stuff so you don't see that they actually don't have depth. That wasn't the case with Pastor Kevin Dupree. I've been able to actually get to know him over food as a small group of pastors have gotten together a number of times, and his brother's love for Christ, his depth matches, if I can say, is greater than his joyful spirit and the energy that he brings. I haven't had a chance to get to know his wife yet, but today, seeing them even here, I know that we're going to be encouraged by their family and by the word that he brings today. So, Brother Dupree, come on up, Pastor, and let me pray for you today. Lord, I do thank you for Pastor Kevin. I thank you for the way in which you guided him to Detroit and the light that he's been through Grace Community Church. I thank you, Lord, that you have used him and his family to encourage people in your gospel, and you're going to continue to do that during this time. Remove him, that we all may be able to see you that much more clearly and to use him as your vessel during this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Leon. Thank you. Thank you so much. Give it up for y'all awesome pastor, Mr. Leon, man. What a great guy right there, man. I love me some Leon, man. We have actually, like you said, had breakfast together, got to know each other a little bit, and then our kids on the soccer field together, man. It's been a great time getting to know Pastor Leon, man. And he loves you guys, man. He loves this church. His heart is for this church. Not only the church. You know, sometimes your heart is for the church, but it ain't for the community. You just do church there. No, his heart is for the church and the community, man. So, man, thank you so much, Brother Leon, for modeling well and leading well there. And so I thank y'all, man. And also, I just want to give it up for that worship team one more time real quick, y'all. I'm telling you, they almost made me rip my good jacket now, y'all. I mean, I don't usually pull this thing out. I pulled it out today, Pal Lee. I said, first Sunday, we dress up a little bit. I told my wife, get this over. I said, wait a minute, Brother Leah. You ain't tell me we's going to cut up like that. So, man, worship team, thank y'all for ushering us into the presence there. And I believe and I'm trusting that the Lord is in this place, and in this space. And he wants to do a great work in each and every one of our hearts and in our minds. And so I want to thank my lovely family for coming out, rocking with me, my missus right here. Y'all give it up for my wife right here, my lovely wife, my oldest daughter. And, man, we got four other kids in the children's area there. We have done our job of being fruitful and multiplying. Our quiver is full. And so we are. So one more. Wait a minute now. Number six, the number of man now. I don't know. I think I like five. That's number of grace. God has given us grace with five babies. And so, Macav, I got a word for us today. And I believe this word, it blessed me, but I can't lie to y'all. It beat me up this week, y'all. That's usually where it's a great word, when the word blesses you and beats you up at the same time. Because, see, that means you're allowing it to work on you as well. And so, man, I believe that God is wanting to really impress this thing on our hearts. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to open up to Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to be continuing on in the series with your Following Jesus series. We're going to be looking at passages, verses 21 through 34. And it's our privy to that we do over at Grace Community Church. We ask you to stand for the reading of the word. So if you don't mind that, we like to honor God with the reading of the word. And we'll get off into that. And camera folks, I just got to tell you, I'm a mover. As y'all know, I'm like Tigger. So you got to watch me. You got to watch me now because I bounce around a little bit. This may be your live stream at home, folks. I'm sorry. Your brother, Kel, I'm just like Tigger. I'm going to try to do my best by staying. But this joy that I have, the world ain't give it, so the world can't take it. So let's begin reading. Verse 21. Then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where it is lit, where its light will shine, for everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Say those two words and say, listen and understand. Listen. Yeah. We're going to camp out there for a little bit. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Jesus steps on in the scenes and continue on by saying, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground night and day while he's asleep and awake. The seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the head of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle. For the harvest time has come. Jesus further on, continuing on in this metaphor about a seed here, Jesus says, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterwards, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Church, I want to tag a title to this message, and it's simply put, it's working. It's working. Say that with me. Say, it's working. Say it one more time. Say, it's working. Say it to get it down in your soul. It's working. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word today, God. Let it transform our hearts, our minds. Let us not leave the same way we came today, all because we heard a powerful word straight from your lips to our ears and to our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen. 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 All righty, MacApp Church, you can kick off your shoes. Get comfortable. It's time to take flight on this flight here. It's time to ascend on this flight. And I want to start off with a question this morning right here. Are you experiencing an average or an abundant faith journey? Let that just ponder in your heart. Are you experiencing an average or an abundant faith walk? Because if you live and you believe what this thing has right here in it, if you believe this right here is our source for everything. My Bible tells me that Jesus says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he says, I have come so that you can have life, bios, just existence. But then he said, life more abundantly, Zoe life, the life intended for God, life abundantly. And so I have no choice but to believe that this thing pushes us into an abundant life. And if you're going to step into abundant life, then you have to have some truths that get down into your heart and your soul that just brings about a transformation. And one truth that got down in my soul that really transformed my walk and allowed me to be fruitful in the walk that I have is the truth that Jesus didn't just come to save our souls. He came to show us how to have a winning walk. Jesus didn't come to just go to the cross. He came to help us get across the finish line of life faithfully. Jesus didn't just come to die. Jesus came to declare and demonstrate a system. He came to declare and demonstrate a system called the kingdom of God. And might I say, Jesus was very adamant about this kingdom of God. He talks about it multiple times at the beginning of once he steps on to see his ministry. And I want us to look at this. Look at a couple of these right here. Look at Mark chapter 1. Y'all in this series. Y'all been going through Mark, so y'all probably seen it. It says, the kingdom of God is near. Repent for your sins and believe the good news. Jesus even tells us about this kingdom. He says, even pray for it. He said, you know, he told us when the disciples said, we don't know how to pray. He said, what should we pray for? He says, our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He was serious about this kingdom. One of the most important ones that transformed my life was Matthew 6:33. That was just up there. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. He says, prioritize the kingdom. He says, above all other things, because we know that there's some other things that we're searching for in this world, right? It's other kingdoms that we after, right? The kingdom of stability, the kingdom of connection, the kingdom of finances, the kingdom of fitness, the kingdoms of health. We got a lot of things that we seek first. And I'm going to ruffle some people's feathers in here this morning, because in some of us, you know that you seek first drama. Ooh. You seek first gossip. You seek first vengeance or revenge. I got to get my lick back. Ooh, they ain't going to do me like that. You going to post that on Twitter? I got something for you. I mean, my fingers are fire. I got fighting fingers for the Facebook. Yeah, we seek first all these other things because we think they'll give us life. We think they'll transform us. We think, God, I got to handle this, God. I can't seek that first because I got to take care of it. We want to put it in our hands. But Jesus says, no. Seek first the kingdom of God. You see, I wonder what our lives would be like if before our feet hit the ground, we sought to seek the kingdom first. Before we sought to seek worry. Before we sought to seek doubt. Before we sought to seek anger, what would our lives be like if before our feet hit the ground, we sought to seek the kingdom? Jesus says, I'm bringing this system called the kingdom of God. And here in Mark chapter 4, he for the first time starts describing this kingdom. And he can't even fully describe it. He has to talk about it in the seed. Jesus is using a seed to describe a system that we were supposed to seek after. And I don't know about y'all, but I got to believe that Jesus didn't send us on a wild goose chase to try to figure out something that wasn't real or attainable. I believe that he told us to seek it because it could be found, it could be obtained, and it could be accessed and exercised. So we got to know what we're seeking for first. So I want to give us a little bit of glimpse into what this kingdom of God is. And see, we can do a 4 or 5 part series on just the kingdom of God itself. So I got to give us like a little summary of what it is to help us understand where we're going today, the power that we're dealing with. And so the kingdom of God, I love what this guy said. He's a biblical Bible teacher. So he teaches business principles from a biblical standpoint, Myron Golden. And it says, the kingdom of God is a realm where God reigns over a person's life. Not a place, a person's life. Jesus is reigning and ruling in us. He's seeking to take over our homes, our temples. That was where the tension came from between Jesus and the religious people. Y'all remember that? Jesus didn't always have it out with sinners. He had some of his greatest bouts with religious folks. Why? Because he's saying, y'all think I'm supposed to come here and set up a kingdom here. You want me to overtake the Roman the government that's in place now? He said, I didn't come for that. I came to take over your internal kingdom. And they missed it. They were missing it because they didn't understand what Jesus was coming to bring. The kingdom of God was supposed to be something internal, not external. Its work would be done on the inside. It was the power and the presence of God working in us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is coming to bring about that transformation. Let's look at what Galatians have to say about this. Let's go right here. He says, When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Anyone living of the sort will not inherit the what? Kingdom of God. So there's a power and a presence that's trying to come to try to get that out of our lives. How many of y'all know it takes some power to get rid of envy? Anybody ever try to get rid of envy on your own? Anybody ever try to get rid of drunkenness on your own? Anybody had when you had a battle with addiction, you try to battle it on your own? You know it's got to come from a different power, because my willpower ain't enough to get this thing off of me. I tried, but I couldn't lift this thing. I need a different power. I need a different presence in my life. And Jesus is saying, that's what I'm trying to bring. I'm trying to bring that through the Holy Spirit. And now I got to tell us, because not only is he trying to work some things out of our life, he's also trying to work some things in our life. Let's look at what Galatians continue on to say in 5:23. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit where? In our lives. Not around our lives, not through. He wants to get it in our lives. What are he trying to work in our lives? Joy. How many of y'all know, man, it takes some power to love some folks, right? Some folks that you say, God, you want me to love them? It's going to take your power for me to pick up that phone, for me to type that email, for me to not hold my tongue, God, because I'm about ready to snap. I don't want to love them, God. I need your power. He says, I'm also trying to get that joy in your life. Who needs some supernatural joy in their life? I believe it. Hey, man, that we've been in a season of just darkness and this dark cloud just weighing over us. I can't find no joy, God. I can't find no peace, Lord. Like, what's going on? My life is in shambles. My family's going down. It's death all around me. I don't have no joy and peace. I can't. God says, in the midst of all of those things, I can bring you supernatural joy and peace. I'm trying to work it in your life. Let's continue to look at this. I told you, I'm moving or whatnot. I'm going to have to get out of this jacket. I'm getting hot now. Come on, look. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Husbands, how many of us need gentleness with our wives, with our children? How many of us really need that? How many of us, our men, are so full of anger? And we just say, this is who I am. I got a temper. I don't know. I'm trying to work with it, but I love my wife, love my kids, but I'm just full of anger. What? Come on now. He says, I can give you gentleness. Let me work that into you. That takes some power. And that's what Jesus is saying. I'm trying to bring this king. Jesus is trying to tell us, I'm trying to bring this kingdom that's full of power and presence. And it's not going to be something external. It's going to happen internal. A lot of us are looking for the fix outside of us. I get it. It's things that'll work out there. Man, go to counseling. Talk with your neighbors. Get in a small group. Man, be in community. Do all of those things. Journal. Do all that type of stuff. But the power that's going to change it all is the power that's working within each and every one of us. Now, that all sounds good about the kingdom of God, right? That gets you excited, huh? That gets you excited. You want that power in your life, right? But the real question is, okay, that's what I could have. But what happens when it don't seem like the word ain't working? What happens when I don't see what he said? What happens when what I see in my marriage and what he said should be there? What happens when I don't see what he said about my health should be there? What happens when I don't see what he said about my finances, about my job, about my family member? What happens when I don't see what his word says? Pastor Kevin, you talk about that power. You talk about the joy. I'm a believer. I've accepted Jesus Christ. What happens when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in my life, but then it feels like I ain't got no access? It feels like I'm in a wilderness. Well, see, I got to help us out here, because you may have not gotten incorrect theology, but you may have incomplete theology, because just because you accept Jesus Christ does not mean you immediately have access to the kingdom. The Bible says that we immediately have the Holy Spirit come inside of us. We have access to the kingdom, but we're not fully accessing the kingdom because that takes a process. See, accepting Jesus can happen in a moment. So many of us know that. It can happen in the church service. It can happen in your car. It can happen in a bar. It can happen, when you're in sin. It can happen. The Holy Spirit can come on you in a moment. You can have an encounter and your life be changed. You can say, I got to give it all to you, God. That can happen in a moment. But accessing, truly accessing the kingdom of God, the power that it has, it takes a process. And Jesus is trying to tell us what that process is right here. He's trying to tell them that, hey, this process has to start with listening. Listening. Look at what verses 24 and 25 say. Is this good for y'all this morning? Is it good? All right. I want to make sure we're good in here. I know I can be a little intense, and so y'all give me that, like, that little pastor, hold up sign now. You're going too hard. Let's see. Okay, look at verse 24. It says, then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more what? Understanding will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But those who are not listening, even what little they have will be taken away from them. You see, we have to listen because listening begins the process of revelation. The kingdom of God must be first received, revealed, before it can be accessible and exercised. Check this out. As we listen and take in God's word, we are taking in information on the kingdom of God. That will be the seeds to our revelation, which will lead to our transformation. See, you just can't accept Jesus and not go through your life listening and hearing his word. We got a lot of people who have said yes to Jesus, but they ain't living their lives like they said yes to Jesus. They think it's supposed to just happen by osmosis. I accepted Jesus, and now my life should just flow and be changed. No, Jesus says, you got to get around my teaching. I remember when I first started walking with Jesus, I got flooded. I let God's word flood my life out. I got into small groups. I was listening to Bible teachers. I was sitting in his word for 6 to 8 hours, just letting his word wash my life and flood out some of that junk. Some of us, we need our lives flooded out. Some of us need to be washed clean. We like those Pharisees. Hey, we clean on the outside, but the inside is ugly. You look good on the outside. People say, oh, man, dude, they live in a great life. I mean, they seem like they're good. They're kind. They're generous. Oh, you look clean on the outside. But what's going on the inside? It's a wreck on the inside. And then guess what the enemy wants to do when we are wreck on the inside? Hey, we look good on the outside, but then he want to put us in isolation, that internal stuff. So we don't get around too many people because if you stay around me long enough, then you might see something may leak out. Some of my junk may leak out. So I can't be around you too long. So we say, I got to be on my own. I do me. I don't do people. I do me. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, because you don't want people to see that junk that's in you. Come on now. Hey, if you can't say amen, say ouch. See, church, what are we listening to? Are you seeking to take in more God than you are garbage? Or are you listening to the world yet trying to receive what the kingdom of God has to offer? That's wrong. No, you can't preach that thing for me. You can't do both. Are you listening to the word about politics and marriage and parenting and finances, anxiety and depression? Now, I told y'all before, hey, that's not bad. That's good. There's some good stuff out there. There's some books and some authors and stuff. They've written some great things. Hey, go into that. But is that your primary source for power and information? Or do you seek to get God's power and information first, his wisdom? Do you go to his word first when you're having issues and struggles with any of those problems in your marriage, in your finance, in your friendships, all of that? Where are you going first for your primary information? Are you listening to a podcast? Are you quick to hop on a podcast? Or are you quick to hop on YouTube? Quick to read a self-help book, an article or whatnot? Quick to take a tweet or a Facebook post and think that it's Bible? Because somebody seemed like they're good. They got a good one-liner. You know what? I'm going to live my life off of that. It sounds good, but is it really God? But not only did Jesus say you have to listen, He said there's a second part, because some of us, we listen, but we don't do what? We don't understand. He said it's a two-part thing. You can't just listen, MacAv. You got to seek to understand. And see, this is where the tension comes in. This is where the tension came at for me during this sermon prep and whatnot. Because I think that, hey, man, because I'm listening, that I'm understanding. And God is saying, are you really understanding? Are you really letting it get down in your heart and in your soul? This is where that detention comes in for us, church. This is where Jesus says, the man, he plants seed, but he don't know what's happening. He don't even understand. How does the seed go from being a seed and then it starts growing? How does it happen? He don't understand. That's the part right there. That's the part that gets us frustrated. God, I heard your word. Why isn't it coming to pass, God? Because, see, he's saying that you need to be in the simmering process. But before we go there, I want us to look at Joshua 1:8. Chapter 1, verse 8. Check this out. It says that we got to do what? Study this book of instructions. When? Continually. Over and over. Not just once. Continually. And then it says do what? Meditate. Those are two different things. Study. It means take it in. Meditate means stew over it. Over and over. Take what you brought in and then stew on it. Like cows. It's an analogy for cows got multiple stomachs. And so what they do is when they get food, they gum, they chew on it, chew on it, chew on it. And then they regurgitate it. And then they keep eating on it. They keep eating on it. That's what he's saying. When you get a word, something that hits you, something in today, something that Pastor Leon has preached or whatnot, somebody, you got to take that word in and then you got to stew on it, stew on it. And then when you feel like, oh, I got it in my set, you got to, okay, throw that thing back up. Some of y'all are like, oh, wait a minute. Now that's your, but you got to keep eating on it. How many of us get a word and then just say, okay, I got it. It's in my system. That's it. But we don't do nothing with it. We don't meditate on the word. Because, see, when we meditate on the word, look what will happen. Am I messing y'all up with this clicker in my pocket? No. Okay, all right, all right. Here, baby, help me. It says meditate on it day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you be prosperous and succeed in all that you do. How many of us want to be prosperous and succeed in all that we do? Not just in some that we do. We want to be prosperous in all that we do. Well, then, if you want to do that, then you got to sit in the simmering process. The simmering process. Some of y'all say, what is the simmering process? Well, I had my granny, man, my big granny. I'm telling you right now, she was, in my opinion, the greatest chef on the planet when she lived. That woman can cook some good food. I'm going to tell you, she cooked such good food that she was one of the ones, basically the only one, when them churches, y'all remember them churches back in the day, they had them fundraisers. And they do food. They cook the food. They sell the dinners or whatnot. She was the one that cooked the dinners for the church fundraisers. And, man, she raised $1,000 just off her barbecue. I'm telling you right now. We used to help her out bringing them big tubs of potato salad and ribs and whatnot. We cooking that tonight, right? Them ribs and stuff. We got you. Now I'm preaching about it. So, man, I be in there trying to sneak me a little finger tip of that potato salad. When I said, boy, get out of my potato salad. You better get on. Don't breathe too heavy on my food. Y'all know them people back then. They just want you. They think you got germs. They going to get in their food. But, man, she used to cook such great food, y'all. But she had this one dish. It's called chicken curry. Oh, yeah, yeah. See, we should have brought some of that today, Brother Leon. You see? See, in this chicken curry, she took it through a process, y'all. And so what she would do, she would start off with these not fully thawed, but not fully frozen chicken wings. She had this big butcher knife, and she would bang these chickens. She would cut these chicken wings up to get through the bone, and she would chop these things up, and then she would put it in the pan, and then she seasoned it. And then once she seasoned, she'd get the rice cooking, because you didn't want to start the rice too early, because y'all know what I'm talking about with rice, okay? Can't cook too rice too long, too under. It just, okay, all right, I'm talking. But then she'd go through this process with this chicken curry. And then she, once it got brown, the chicken got brown, and she would pour a little water in there, let it get warmed up. And then she started putting a mixture in there to thicken up the water, whatnot, to make the juice for the chicken curry. And then it got to a point, y'all, where all she could do, she couldn't do no more. She said, boy, let the thing simmer. Say, Gary, why we got to let it simmer? Why we got, I want this thing, I smell it all through the house, y'all. Y'all know what good food in the house. You want to go in there and eat, you want to eat now. But it's just permeating the whole one-bedroom apartment. I'm telling y'all, it's going through every room in there. I'm trying to go in the bath, take a shower, just so I can waste blow time, so that I can get out of eating food. Man, I'm telling you, this food smells so good. So why does it got to simmer? My granny say, because, see, it needs to simmer because what's happening in the process is working. Everybody say it's working. It's working. That's the title of my message. It's working. See, the simmering process was breaking down those bones, and it was breaking down the marrow that was in the bone that was adding more flavor into the meal. It was thickening up the juice so that when she poured it over that rice, it got real thick. Hey, man, when she put it on there, hey, man, it was good, but it had to go through the simmering process. And see, some of us, we forfeit our walk in the simmering process. When we've done all that we could do, God, I've worked this thing, God. I've been on my knees. I've been in my word. I've been going to church. I've been doing all the externals. And now, God, I'm in the simmering process, but I'm frustrated, God. I don't see what you're saying. I don't see what your word is saying. We got to be calm and endure the simmering process because it's working. It's working. Things are happening. Stop giving up in the simmering process. Hang on. And see, when we look at the simmering process, why? What is the simmering process all about when it comes to us? Not some of that good old chicken curry. In our faith walk, what is the simmering process? See, the simmering process in our faith walk is the process of moving that thing from our head down to our hearts. See, that's the simmering process in our faith thing. Because, see, the understanding don't come in the head. When we get our understanding, it's the process of working its way down into our hearts. And as much as we would love for it to be a straight line like that, as much as we would love for it to get straight down to our heart, it much more looks like this right here. Don't it? That's what that word looks like, huh? When it's trying to work its way through that childhood trauma. It's trying to work its way through that divorce and that breakup. It's trying to work its way through those insecurities. It's trying to work its way through those lies and those doubts. It's trying to work its way through that unforgiveness and anger and bitterness. That word that we heard in our head, got it in our head. It's trying to work its way through all of that junk, through all of that messy soil. It's trying to break through, like Pastor Leon spoke about last week, about creating the soil. It's trying to break through all of that to get down to our hearts. And now you fill in the blank. What is the word trying to work through in your life? What is that thing that's bringing you frustration that you don't even know about because you lack self-awareness? You don't even know that it's something blocking you from that word getting down into your heart. All you think is, oh, it must not be my time. It must be something wrong out there. The church ain't right. The worship ain't right. The pastor ain't preaching. I need you to go deeper. No, I need you to go deeper with the Lord to figure out what's blocking that thing from moving from your head to your heart. Why? Why do I need to move it to my head, from my head to my heart? Because, see, the simmering process helps us build a root system. A root system. The root system that's going to help us produce that 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. I think that we want that. I told y'all, I believe that he wants us to walk an abundant walk. He didn't just say it was going to be half. He didn't say, you could possibly produce something once it gets down. Well, when you got the root system, hey, it's 30 times. It's not 30% of it. He's saying you're going to produce 30 times more, 60 times more, even 100 times more than what the seed was. That's what type of life I want. I want it where the root system is so deep down there that the substance that gets brought out of my life, the fruit that gets brought out of my life, is more than I can ask, think, or imagine for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is that powerful. It can 100x your life. It can 100x your life in peace. So when everybody's in these problems and whatnot, they look at you and say, what's on that person right there? That's supernatural. What this peace? You're going through all of that in your life and you got that type of peace? My wife was going through cancer in 2021. People thought we were crazy. Man, she's going and getting chemos. Our son, Case, praise the Lord. I mean, he had two collapsed lungs the first 2 days of his life. One went down the first day of his life. The next one went down on the second day of life. But he's breathing now. But in that season, we didn't lose hope. We kept letting, God, I don't know what you're doing, God, but I'm going to sit in the simmer, God. I got your word in my head. I know it's in my heart. So I'm going to sit in the simmer, God. I'm going to let this thing work today. My wife ministering to people in there. When she's getting the chemo, she's transforming people's lives. Who giving her the chemo? She's got a supernatural peace. She's got a different light that's coming off her when she's laying in the bed. Why? Because it's down. It's producing more than we could ever think. 30, 60, 100. Church, hang on in the simmering process. Don't forfeit it in the simmering process. It's doing something down in you. I think I got a picture of the root system. See, we got the roots that are, the seed when it's planted, and then it's small, and we start building a root system. Still ain't a whole lot up there. But then once it keeps going deeper, it keeps going wider, then we can start seeing some produce. Don't forfeit the process. Don't think I'm going to plant over here, and then it's going to be right here immediately. That's what type of faith we want. We want a microwavable faith. We want an instant faith. Dare I say, we live in a time where we want an entitled faith. Just because I'm connected to somebody who said they love Jesus, I should get the blessing too. Proximity don't mean you get blessed too. Relationship does. Proximity can help you get to a relationship with Jesus Christ, but proximity doesn't make you eligible for the kingdom of God's blessing. It's too powerful. It's too much. So if you're not connected with Jesus on your own, you don't have a relationship with yourself. Hey, man, today, the Bible says, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart. You hear God drawing you today? Give your life to him. Say, God, I surrender all to you. God, I'm done playing games. I'm tired of having this average faith walk. I'm tired of having an average life, period. God, I want to have that abundant life because you said I can have it. And it's not about a bunch of stuff, y'all. I know we've been hoodwinked with this prosperity gospel. So when you hear the word abundant or you hear prosperity or whatnot, your mind immediately goes to, oh, well, he's talking about money. No. When you get an understanding of what abundance and prosperity and success is, the Bible says it. God gives us success. He gets to define it. And success and prosperity better start inside of us before it ever gets outside of us. Because he can bring it to us, but then we'll lose it if we don't have a good root system. That's why God is saying, what I want to bring in your life, I want to sustain it. I don't want you to lose it. So I got to make sure that the seed gets down through the simmering process. So what can I do? What can I do as the time simmers? Because we got to do something, right? All of us, we always got to be doing something, right? Any of y'all be like, y'all be just sitting around. It's kind of like, man, okay, what I want to do, we get anxious. We start getting antsy or whatnot. We can't just sit around. We do more work or whatnot. So I can tell you something that you can do in this process. You got to keep the right environment. See, so I was studying about this seed and stuff. Y'all probably learned this back in, second and third grade. I wasn't really paying attention because I was a little bad kid. But they teach you how to grow a seed. Y'all remember that? They put the little seed in the cup, and they give you the soil, and they tell you how to go through it or whatnot. And they basically teach you how to keep the environment. They say you got to do what? You got to water it. You got to keep it in what?
Light, yeah.
And it needs oxygen. So they tell you how to upkeep the environment so that the seed has the environment that it can grow in. We got to do the same thing with the seeds that get planted in us. Sometimes we get the seeds in us, but then we don't keep the right environment, and then the seed dies out. It got planted in us, but it died out because I didn't keep the right environment for it. So let me show us, how do we keep the right environment? Let's see, how do we keep this right environment? The way you keep the right environment is you delight in the Lord. You delight in the Lord. Oh, stop that. See, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, it takes two steps, takes two processes. The Bible tells us. The first one is we have to remember, as you're in a simmering process, you have to remember. I got to put that thing on that because I forgot to. I'm sorry, y'all. Forgive me, y'all. So you got to remember. See, I don't know if y'all remember the story of the Israelite people. God has set them free from captivity, of 400 years of slavery and captivity. And then he brought them out, parted the Red Seas, and he provided for them and everything. But they constantly was complaining in the wilderness. They could not stop complaining. Why? Because they failed to remember all that God has did. They forfeited, a generation forfeited getting into the promised land, living in their abundance, living in their prosperity, living in their success. Why? Because they forgot to remember in the wilderness. Let that not be so for us. What has God done for you? What has he brought into your life? See, I got a thing in my phone. It's called Big Rocks. And these big rocks, there's an analogy for them. When Joshua and them crossed over the Jordan River, God said, go back in there. And he said, pull out these rocks, 12 rocks, bring them on the other side so that when they look and see and they say, what are those rocks? You can kind of recall back and say, that is when he brought us over. And so I got these things in my phone called big rocks. They're all moments when God showed up in my life. When I know that I know that I know it was him, I got a big rock for it. And so now when I had a propensity, I'm saying I write it down because I don't know about y'all brain, but my brain, it forgets stuff. As y'all can see, I'm a fast runner. I'm all over the place, right? So it forgets things. And so if you anything like that, you probably want to write it down and get something tangible so that when you at your last leg, when you're weeping, when you're crying, when you're about ready to let go, when you're ready to go off of the edge, you got to look back and say, I know that I know he was there. So I'm going to remember in the simmering process, God. I'm going to hang on in the simmering process. I may only be able to hang on by a pinky, God, but I'm going to hang on. I'm going to keep letting this thing simmer because I'm going to remember that what you did back then. You can do it now, and you're going to do it again. So we got to remember. The second thing we got to do is we got to show gratitude. Look at what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says. It says in everything, I don't know if it's up there, I'm sorry. It says in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Gratitude is the will of God for you. He says, I want you to give me thanks. God needs to hear you give him thanks. How many of us keep glossing over the simple fact of, God, I just thank you so much. God is saying, I can't move you forward because I don't know if I bless your life, will you even know that it's me or will you think it's you? He said, I can't even trust you because you don't even give me gratitude now in the little things. You don't give me gratitude because you woke up this morning. You don't give me gratitude because you got a head or you got a roof over your head. You don't even give me gratitude because you got food in your refrigerator, that you got breath in your body. You don't even give me gratitude for the little things. How are you going to give me gratitude for the big things that you put your hands to? You didn't give yourself breath this morning. You didn't make your eyes blink this morning. But how many of us get up in the morning and say, thank you, Jesus? How many of us just say, thank you, Jesus? How many of us get caught up in the spirit just saying those words, thank you, Jesus? My granny used to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. She get the moving in that little, thank you, Jesus. Heavy said, lady, thank you, Jesus. Everything get the moving. She ain't said nothing else. She just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. She just understand, I got to give him gratitude for what he's done for me. And as I get ready to land this plane, since I'm bringing up my granny, my granny had it hard. My granny lived a hard life. She raised three generations of kids. She raised her kids, she raised her siblings, and then she raised me and my two sisters after my parents divorced. And my granny lived paycheck to paycheck. Sometimes I don't even think paycheck to paycheck. Paycheck to payday loan to title loan to paycheck to borrowing money. She lived a hard life. She was a heavy set woman, so she had health issues. So things were hard in her life. But I believe if my big granny was sitting right here among us today and we had a kingdom conversation with her, after all of that, after all you endured, Dorothy, after all you seen, after all you read in that little burgundy Bible that you kept on the kitchen table, after all of that, I believe my big granny would tell us today, hang on, it's working. It's working. I believe my big granny sitting over in glory right now, looking down, saying, it's working. I don't know who needs to be encouraged by that today. I don't know where you at in life, what stage or phase you may be in life. I just need to tell you that it's working. Pastor Kevin, how is it working, man? I'm telling you, man, I'm at the last day. I don't know. It's working. It's working. Hang on. It's my health is declining. Somebody I know health is gone. I'm getting ready to lose my job. Man, I'm taking care of this family. I'm providing. I don't know what to do, Pastor. Hey, it's working. It's working. Jesus says you won't understand it. But in time, the seed will become a tree, and the tree will produce everything you need. Church, we got to stop limiting God to the temporal. We got to expand our minds to the eternal. Because if it don't happen on this side, he says, I'm storing up something for you on the other side. God, I want to see it in the land of the living. I believe that we got a God who can do it in the land of the living. We can see his goodness. But God, if you don't, I got to expand my mind that it'll be over in glory. And so, church, I leave us with this. Will you trust that the word is working today? Will you trust that the word can save your life today? Some of you far from Jesus. Pastor Leon's going to get ready to come up and give you that opportunity to give your life to Christ. But will you trust them to save your life? And if you trusted him to save your life, will you trust his word to keep your life until we get to glory? Church is working. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God. Thank you that you are working while it's working. Even when we don't see it, God, ignite our hearts, excite our hearts that you are working, God. And we will be able to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living, Lord. God, thank you so much for what you've already given us, God. God, I pray you pull our gratitude from our hearts this upcoming week, God. Show us things that we missed to give you gratitude for, God. And let us get on our face. Let us get on our hands and knees, God, to give you glory, give you praise, give you honor for even giving us this life, Lord. God, help us not forget your good things in our life, Lord. Help us remember that had it not been for you, the Bible says that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. There's some of us walking in sin right now, God, but you've protected us from some things. There's some things that didn't happen because of your hand, because of someone else's prayers, Lord. So bring that to our memories today, God, and help us surrender all to you, God, because whether we know it or not, whether we can feel it or not, whether we believe it or not in our soul, we got to know that it's working. And we thank you, God. We give you all the thanks, honor, glory, and praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise, church. Give God a hand clap of praise.